everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We have a lot to share. We're going to talk about how lutein and zeaxanthin isomers benefit people from high screen exposure. That's important because most people are too close to their computers, using too often, and laptops, they didn't realize what kind of damage is being done. We'll talk about that. Another study explores the effects of eating dark chocolate, once again, on your brain. Vitamin C is found to block the growth of cancer stem cells. Wow. And preterm births more likely with exposure to phthalates, those are your plastics. And a study finds vitamin D directs immune cells to the intestine. Well, that's good news. And drinking alcohol in any amount while pregnant could have transgenderificational effects. Who knew? We have a lot to share. We begin with the latest on health and healing, and this comes from the University of Georgia. It's an exciting new peer-reviewed publication based upon ongoing research of macular carotenoids from the University of Georgia's, demonstrating that supplementation with, well, let's say if you were to eat a lot of mixed greens, if you were to have Swiss chard, collard greens, arugula, watercress, you would be getting these luteins and zeaxanthins. But if you take them in supplemental form, that's even better because you know exactly how much you're getting in each dose. And this is not where more is better. In fact, for a lot of things, more is not better. But that can protect against a growing issue among the general population, the undesirable effects of what's happening to your eyes when you're up against those computer screens all day and that high-energy blue light emanating from digital screens and computers. By the way, also from your smartphones and your tablets. Now, lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and zeaxanthin, Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, are known as the molecular carotenoids. And they're natural filters of high-energy blue light, and that's good. And high-energy blue light reaches deep into the eyes and can harm the macula. That's the region of the eye responsible for the highest visual acuity by promoting the production of free radicals. And short-term effects can cause eye fatigue, while long-term exposure can lead to progressive loss of vision function. This is the first study to examine the impact of macular carotenoids, which means that since it helps you, and by the way, it protects your vision and improves vision, it improves sleep quality, reduces eye strain, reduces fatigue during prolonged exposure to blue light from the digital screens. This was a 6 months randomized double-blind placebo-controlled supplement, so a study, and the results were very positive. One more reason to juice vegetables on a daily basis, and a variety of vegetables and a variety of colors within this selection to get your carotenoids. On three separate occasions in the last 2 months, I've talked about studies showing that chocolate, cacao, really helps different parts of your body, including your heart, the veins. Well, now this one is about how chocolate helps your brain. This is from Isfahan University of Medical Science, and the researchers there found that a small amount, not a large amount, of dark chocolate, generally 70-80% chocolate, and the percentage is what's important. As long as you stay between 70-80%, you're in good shape. And what they found specifically was dietary patterns on synapses in a specific region of the brain known as the hippocampal, CA1 area. Their findings were published in the Nutritional Neuroscience Journal, and it shows that dark chocolate can, by being consuming a small piece each day, not a lot, not a whole bar, just one of those little squares, is beneficial in the brain of individuals exhibiting any form of chronic isolation stress. So we know that stress causes your brain to dysfunction. And it causes a lot of emotions right behind that. For example, do you remember, it must have been 20 years ago, where for the first time, basketball players were taking ballet classes. And doing yoga, stretching the body, and because the ballet was showing how to condition muscles to move in different ways that the normal athletic process of basketball wouldn't. And it made a big difference. So, what is happening is that when you're stressed, and when you're competing in athleticism, you're stressed. What is the message here? The message is, in everything we do, if you can put yourself in a de-stressed, relaxed state, a joyful state, a happy state, an exciting state, you're going to do better. Because you've got two sets of hormones. One set of hormones, the endorphins and serotonin, dopamine, the reward hormones, feel-good hormones. Why do you think when any athlete, in any athleticism, when someone does something, people come up and high-five you? Boom, you have that high-fi, you hear them when you're in a race, and you hear them going, you can do it, come on. Now, you might be feeling like you can't do it, but just the encouragement that you can do it, suddenly you get a whole new burst of energy. And I've seen this. I've seen it myself when I felt like I couldn't go any faster. I was behind in a race, and having people cheer you on, you look over quickly and you see them really putting their energy into you. And suddenly you release more energy because you're releasing the mind that says to the DNA, you can go faster. Now, I'm not going to go into this whole history today, but it served me well. And in hundreds and hundreds of races, I'm preparing for the state championships with the same mindset. So something that was taught to me by Coach Kincaid, very influential in my early life, has stuck with me this whole time. Now reverse it, because you always have to look at the opposite of what you're choosing, thinking, doing, to see where you're at on a spectrum of reason, common sense, healthy choice or unhealthy choice, and lack of reason, lack of common sense, unnecessary risk. And when you're stressed about something, everything tightens. Your muscles tighten. Your breathing shortens. You become more throat breathing. If you start hearing someone get really anxious or hang, it's up there in the throat. How many times when you were growing up did your mom say, okay, count to 10, breathe deep? Well, your mom was actually right. They didn't know the science of it, but they knew the wisdom of it, the innate wisdom. When you relax and you relax your breathing, your circulation increases. You're not constricting the muscles, building up lactic acid. Everything is easier. So the takeaway message there is we want to be able to keep ourselves relaxed at whatever we do, even in a tough situation. If you're in an emergency, do you want someone who is yelling and screaming and out of control? Or do you want someone who's calm, focused on seeing how do you get out of this situation? Just a thought. Anyhow, what I'm saying is in this nutritional neuroscience article, they're talking about how stressed we are and how the brain reacts when you're stressed, especially if it's chronic stress, stress that you've learned to live with and other people around you, work, family, friends, they've learned to accept you in spite of how you deal with stress inappropriately. And by getting angry or judgmental or always being negative or looking for some reason not to be happy. It's just amazing how many people will go into an art gallery and find a reason not to like being there, or go to a zoo and find, no, we may, you know, we can all certainly have our opinions and all of us be right on our opinions about zoos, but there are animals that if they weren't in those zoos, they'd be dead. And the whole species would be gone. That's side and separate from the natural habitat where they ideally should be, and where many are being bred and then released back into the natural habitat. But when you see animals that are not stressed, where they have larger environments and they have the members of their normal family that they relate with, they live longer. Three things are going to cause an animal to live longer life and a human. First and foremost in the wild is water quality, and food availability, the health of that food, and then the level of stress. That's also true with humans. Think of how many humans just don't drink a clean glass of water. Instead, they have a sugary, chemically altered soft drink. There's a big difference there in the outcome. Think of people that have healthy diets or unhealthy diets, people who are stressed versus unstressed. And by the way, if you think that a good meal is going to be digested and absorbed and utilized and eliminated when you're under stress, think again. Because one of the very first things, if you ever watch the Animal Kingdom, and the lion starts chasing the whatever, wildebeest, zebra, etc., they vacate their bowels. They want all their energy, no longer in digestion, but in their muscles and their heart, their lungs. And so that's why they had the flight or fight response. We had that same level of hormones. And that's why if you have yourself tested and you see you have elevated cortisol, whoa, that's a big sign saying, stop, reorganize how you're dealing with stress. What can you change in your circumstances? What can you change in your attitude? What tools do you need to help you get through this, staying calm? Just a thought. And all that because we just learned about a piece of chocolate helping in the brain. The dark chocolate can reverse the adverse effects of the chronic isolation stress on the synaptic potency and the plasticity of the hippocampal CA1 area. Lay language, eat some chocolate, have a better brain. Now, save this for last. This is from the University of Salford, which is the United Kingdom. This is a really important article because it deals with something I've been found in my own clinical experience, in the laboratory, in all the people coming through the Tri-State Healing Center, in my own private counseling. Vitamin C can block the growth of cancer stem cells. And this is in a peer-reviewed study. Now, according to the University of Salford, increasingly researchers are discovering the role played by cancer stem cells in the growth and spread of the disease. In groundbreaking new research, vitamin C showed its ability to target cancer stem cells and stop their growth, preventing the reoccurrence of tumors. In a newly published study conducted at the University of Salford, SALFORD, in Manchester, vitamin C demonstrated its power to stop tumors in their tracks by interfering with cancer stem cell metabolism, suppressing their ability to process energy for the survival and growth of the cancer. The study explored the effects of vitamin C on cancer stem cells and provided evidence that vitamin C in the form of ascorbic acid can target and kill them. The team investigated the impact on cancer stem cells of 7 different substances. 3 were natural substances, 3 were experimental drugs, and 1 was an FDA-approved clinical drug in wide use. The natural products studied along with vitamin C were milk thistle and caffeic acid and phenyl ester, what is called CAPE, derived from honeybee bee propolis. And the experimental drugs were FK66 and 2DG. And the researchers know that vitamin C destroyed the cancer cells by inducing oxidative stress. And then the vitamin performed this process 1,000% more than the effectiveness of 2D. By inhibiting glycolysis, vitamin C inhibited mitochondrial protein synthesis in the cancer stem cells while leaving all the healthy cells unaffected. So, now all 7 of these substances tested inhibited the cancer growth of the cells at varying degrees, including the non-toxic natural substances. But researchers said the most exciting results were for vitamin C. Again, vitamin C was 1,000% more effective than 2DG, the chemotherapy, in targeting cancer stem cells. Important? You bet. How important is it? That's why you should be taking vitamin C every single day, at least 5 times a day. And one last thing, the study finds that vitamin A directs immune cells to the intestine, Purdue University. Did this research. A key set of immune cells that protect your body from infection would be lost without directions provided by vitamin A. So take your vitamin A each day. You don't need a lot of it because you have innate lymphoid cells first gathering the lymph nodes before traveling to their final destination. And this is where retinoic acid or vitamin A acts upon two of the three subsets destined for the intestines. And it's good. It gets it where you need it. All right. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a break. And when I come back, we're going to play a very, very interesting, two very interesting tapes you've not heard before. Please stay with us.